Hello, friends. Welcome inside Least. Well, no,
we're not related.
We're on location.
There we go.
We're on location. I'm Ben. That's Brad. After Ole Miss spring football practice on Tuesday, not a lot to glean because we didn't get much time, but we were there. And Brad and I are now standing after Pete Golding's press conference. And Brad, Ole Miss is now not quite a full weekend, but almost a full weekend. And we got to actually get our first availability and viewing period today. What are your thoughts after everything today?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. And I was thinking as I wrote them down, as Pete began to talk, number one, he said, Ben, that this is the most depth that he's had at Ole Miss, whether it be as a defensive coordinator, now as a head coach. And so I think that says a lot. And he specifically talked about how the defense has more depth. And then Trinidad Chambers, we were able to talk with him. He basically said the same thing, quote, the defense is incredible, awesome, insert adjective here. I thought it said a lot about how the depth piece of it, the defense is better. But I thought, and you kind of addressed this with some of your questions about the wide receiver room, Coach Pete Golding specifically said Gill. He specifically said Alexander. And I think the way these teams the way they played in the latter part of the year, being another thing that I caught up with, was he specifically talked about the interior defensive line. The depth was not there. Mm-hmm. He talked about how they kind of ran out of gas, if you will. So I think just a couple of things that we took away from that. He spent the first probably minute and a half, 2 minutes talking about basically adjusting as a head coach, being the main guy to blow the whistle, being the main guy to, you know, make the decisions. And I think it said a lot about how he admitted that he's kind of tweaking the schedule. Even right now, he's tweaking the schedule about when to do certain things. It didn't go into any depth about that, but did just talk about how he's growing on the job. And I think that says a lot about Pete Golding, both as a person and as a head coach. I thought it was too funny, too. He was also asked how one of the main things that changed about the job. He said he went from 80 pictures to about 80,000 pictures. So obviously eating supper is a little bit different around Oxford. Mm-hmm. Talked about the recruiting piece about, yeah, I thought, I don't know who asked the question, but it was basically about how you recruit high school recruiting versus transfer portal recruiting. What's the perfect balance? And he gave a pretty good answer. We'll have that for you here. I've got that on my phone, by the way, if we need to transition that over. I don't know if we can do that or not.
We can do that.
We'll see what we can do down the road with transfers. So at the end of the day, that's some pieces that I took away from Ben about how it's not on my account right now. It's on my phone.
Okay. We'll mess with it in a minute.
Yep. So that's what I kind of took away from it today.
Yeah. Well, number one, we didn't get much time as far as viewing is concerned. This is the first opportunity we've gotten to get into spring football practice. We only got 12 minutes from 10:44 to 10:56. And then
that was my question to you. Yeah.
So rather than walk around and try to glean my own information from what I was seeing, which was a lot of special teams and walkthroughs, it was designed for us to not see much. I talked to a lot of assistants and former players. Now, DK Metcalf was there. Channing Ward was there. Caden Priestcorn was there. Caden, you'll be shocked to hear, is very bullish on his brother Brady being a real part of this room. He's got great size. And one thing that Caden said about Brady is he absolutely loves being at Ole Miss. It's been a great start for him, a great decision for him to make to leave Michigan and come to Ole Miss in a room that needs him. Caleb Odom today was wearing a gold jersey, which is the new color. For the last 6 years, it was black. If they were limited practice participants, they wore black jerseys. Now they're wearing yellow, gold, whatever you want to call. Caleb was in one of those. And so the Brady Priestcorns of the world, Michael Smith, the transfer tight end from South Carolina, was also in a gold jersey. So the audio is a little choppy. Uh-oh. We got a little choppy audio. I cannot see.
Yeah, we should have pretty good. It looks like we have good internet, so we'll continue.
We'll keep doing our best to make it as good as it can. And I've got the Skylink in the freaking car.
Well,
what are we doing? You know, next Tuesday.
Oh my
Tuesday,
God, it's the third time I've heard about the Skylink today.
Well, because why do I have it? You should have the Starlink. It should be you, brother. Not me. But anyway, so Michael Smith, another tight end from the transfer from South Carolina, he was in a gold jersey today. So opportunity for guys like a Brady Priestcorn, who again, in talking to Caden, who was going to be on the podcast, he said he's happy to come on the pod. So I'm going to try to get him on pretty soon. Yeah, that's one thing that jumped out at me. I talked to, again, I don't want to say who the assistants were or what they said, but some from talking to them, one of the questions I asked was about the wide receivers, Caleb Cunningham, and just that new look room. Caleb Cunningham's running with the first team is off to a great start, according to one specific assistant. Said, man, and you heard Pete
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, one assistant said that Caleb Cunningham's off to a great start, and he's really excited about what he's seen so far. And you kind of heard the same thing from Pete Golding.
Yeah, that's good news.
Yeah, Pete said, I mean, Caleb was on the scout team all last year, told me twice when I talked to him that he wasn't going anywhere, and he didn't. But on the scout team was just terrorizing that defense, was showing some good things, and now it's his opportunity. He's right now currently running with the first team where Dejon Stribling was. So that's one that we're going to be keeping an eye on all spring to see how far he comes along, to see what he's doing and where he's at. But so far, so good for him. And then another takeaway before I forget, I'm kind of dumping it all, but we only got 12 minutes, and and one of the things that really stuck out to me, I asked about the offensive tackles to multiple assistants, and one thing that was very clear is they really like what they have. Terrence Davis looks great. He's finally healthy. He's trimmed up. You can see it. They think he's going to be a really good player. Has the potential to be as good, if not better, than their starting tackles last year, but you got to see it first. Tommy Kinsler was kind of off the side for a second because he got a little nicked up. But he's one they're counting on. Carius Kern and Enoch Wangoy, the transfer from Florida, very raw, only been playing football for a couple years, but I was told, quote, still of the portal. Is Enoch Wango. So we'll see how that works out for them. But they're real candidates there. And if you look at this team, as you mentioned with Pete, the depth is, in his opinion, better than it's been in any other year that he's been here. So for 4 years now with Pete, and Pete said this is the best step they've had. You can kind of see that, and it's kind of playing out. The real question mark is those tackles, and so far they like what they have.
Yeah, you asked specifically, I think you asked Trinidad Chambliss about the tackle positions. Carius Kern, another name being that you brought up, and I think what Trinidad says, we've got video of it, we'll have all the coverage for you on the Ole Miss Spirit. That is OM Spirit, the Ole Miss Spirit, an affiliate of On Three.
There you go, omspirit.com. That's what I said. On Three. Yeah. If you scan this QR code right on your screen, new members get 50% off an annual sub at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On Three. How much bigger is the D line this year? That brings up the next question.
Yeah, and Ben asked, real quick, Ben asked Trinidad about the offensive line. He basically said they're huge.
Massive.
So the tackles, the new tackles, obviously the two guards and the center back. But, yeah, let's talk about that defensive front. And there was a question asked, Pete, about the defense. And he specifically said against Miami the latter part of the year, that interior defensive front was gassed. Mm-hmm. And basically you remember the last drive. I mean, they just went through a it's just like you know water through a cup. And so being able to see that and see they've been able to fill the room with that defensive front, he really likes the defensive line this year.
He does. And there was a question about Jordan Renaud, the transfer from Alabama, his availability. I was told by one assistant he arrived at Ole Miss with an injury from Alabama. The expectations he'll be back in a couple of weeks. He's out of practice. There's no, like, he's a part of the program, he's but like he's in training room, he's in the treatment center, you know what I mean? He's not practicing because he's banged up, but that's one we're expecting to see. What do you mean there's no code of skin? Right here on your screen.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. QR code. All you got to do is scan it. I read that from JBL 104. I hope that's like JBL, like John Bradshaw from WWE.
John Bradshaw, Layfield.
I'd like to think that's exactly who that is. But back to the defensive line, Jordan Renaud is here. He's dealing with the injury that he arrived with. I saw Blake Purchase briefly and talked to a few coaches about just that remade room. Blake Purchase looks really impressive physically. More impressive to me was Jonathan Maldonado. Not to say he's more impressive than Blake Purchase. I just should say, like, I guess I was expecting him to be a little undersized, maybe a little skinnier. Jonathan Maldonado is filled out, man. He's ready to attack. And Cam Franklin, even as I was watching, I was like, Cam Franklin looks like he was built in a lab, and he's leveled up too.
Yeah.
But there are like some questions that I'm ready to see, like that wide receiver room is brand new, and Jonte Cook is off to a good start, Caleb Cunningham, but like you got to see it in real time. They're practicing against each other right now, but I was really impressed with the defensive line, especially what they've added. Jaheim Otis is a monster, and it's his time now. Like, it's either put up or shut up for Jaheim, and I think he knows it. And that's something, as the rain's starting to fall.
Well, if the sun's out, the devil's whipping his wife here in Oxford.
See, don't say those things, but and y'all say I say terrible things.
By the way, it felt to me like it, you know, Pete's very much a, doesn't get to the root of it, but kind of tells you a little bit. He wasn't that way with Jaheim Otis.
No.
He said, we had a conversation and basically said that, Jaheim, this is your last chance. You're a Mississippian. We want you to do big things here at Ole Miss. Here's what you need to do. And he says, I feel really good about the process for Jaheim Otis. But there was a pretty direct conversation that happened between Pete and Jaheim Otis.
Yeah, I'm reading all these questions in the chat, and I want to remind you guys again, we were only given 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Only 12 minutes to view. So rather than walk around and just me being a non-expert, try to say, well, look at this, look at this. I asked as many coaches or former players that I could. And again, the former players in attendance were Channing Ward, who's now a head coach, high school head coach. You got DK Metcalf was back out there again. Terrence Metcalf, who's now an assistant with the offensive line.
Talk a little bit about that.
Man, he looks like he's lost a ton of weight. Man, he's in great physical shape. Looks like he'll line up at left tackle tomorrow. But as far as all these questions in the chat and what y'all are asking, I'm going to knock them out, try to go out and knock them out one at a time.
And while you do that, real quick, I want to say this. Pete was asked by one of the media members about Mississippians, former players coming back and coaching and that sort of thing. I thought it was really cool, his answer in regards to Terrence Metcalf.
Yep.
He said, you know, he was very transparent. He said, I didn't know Terrence very well, but when he interviewed for me, he knew just how good of a person he was. He said it's one of the best interviews he's ever participated in as a coach, not just a head coach, but as a coach. And that really says a lot about Terrence as a person. Now, you and I know him. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible person. We knew that. Pete didn't know that, but he does now. And he talks about how he can kind of get down in the weeds. Obviously, Terrence is very well-traveled. He was a head coach at Cahoma Community College. He's been all over the place. He's a great football coach. But I thought it was really cool how Pete pointed out he's a really good person.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to be here. He's got houses all over the place. But he chooses to be, and he looks physically like he's in some of the best shape he's been in, and I couldn't tell you how long. I'm serious. He looks like he could line up and play right now. I said that, too, and he kind of laughed. But he was working with Tommy Kinsler briefly, who kind of got a little nicked up, but kind of showed him some physicality elements that they're trying to add there, because Tommy Kinsler and Kyrius Kern, Enoch Wangoy, some returning guys as well, like Connor Howes, they're all competing to start at one of those two vacant offensive tackle spots on offense. But let's set up some of these questions in the chat. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Brad Logan. This is Talk of Champions live from campus after we went to the first viewing opportunity for non-in-the-building people. The first outsiders that weren't recruits or players or coaches got to view today. And our next one is not until Tuesday. So remembering that, and that we only got 12 minutes, and we're giving you the best we got from what we heard, I'm going to – like, here's a question from Ole Miss fan 198824. They say Deuce is looking good. They're not worried about Deuce Alexander. He's wearing number one now. He's there to lead the room. I didn't see him today, but, yes, they really like Deuce Alexander leading that room. Caleb Cunningham, I've touched on already. He's off to a fast start. Kind of touched on him being on the scout team all last year under Pete, and so far he's doing what they need him to do, stepping in at that number one spot where DeJon Stribling was, which is the X, I think. So, yeah, he's off to a good start. Blake Purchase touched on him as well. Looks great physically. I didn't get to see a lot of him in action. Jonathan Maldonado, again, is one that I didn't know what I expected, but he certainly impressed me with how much bigger
Pete,
he was.
Real quick, Pete specifically called out Gil, the transfer from Syracuse,
sure did.
That he is an absolute beast from a route running perspective and also is a vertical threat. And he talked about how the importance of being able to go vertical. Real quick, too, nobody asked, but I'll point this out. Someone asked about the difference between John David Baker versus Charlie Weiss Jr., and I think it was the question was to Trinidad, and it basically said they're very similar, but we've got some different plays we've implemented, just a very nondescript answer. Yep. I think there's some truth in the middle there, but he was not going into a lot of depth.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the reason you hire John David Baker is because of that.
Familiarity.
It's from the Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss. It's the same tree. So it made sense then at the time. And now, like, I think that's why you're seeing so much normal out there. Like, it felt very normal. It felt very cool to see, like, all the new faces and stuff mixing in. Again, Enoch Wangoy, I don't know what I'm expecting him to be a starter next year, expecting him to do much of anything next year. When Ole Miss signed him out of Florida, like, the directly said to me, he's like, don't expect him to be somebody, but, like, we're taking a flyer on a lottery pick that could, like, in a year or two be something crazy. It might be sooner rather than later because, again, one assistant called him the steal of the portal for Ole Miss. So we'll see. I don't know that. I didn't get but a little bit of a look at him. I was impressed with him physically, but it's impossible to not be impressed with a 6'7 dude at tackle.
Yeah.
But continue on in the chat. Yeah. How did Kiwan look? Kiwan's great. I think the one thing that, and I look forward to seeing this next week, is the depth behind him, which I asked Pete specifically about, and he mentioned kind of what we knew, that Kiwan getting hurt, banged up, the durability piece.
Doesn't want him to run that much.
He's like, dude, we don't want to give him the ball 35 times anyway. It's not good for him or for us, So
he also said, remember, he said when he comes out of the game, we don't want people to think, wow, we're going to throw the football. So we want people to understand that if he comes out of the game, we've got some very good backups coming in. It's not like we're just going to indicate we're going to throw the ball down the field just because he's coming out.
But if you hear a chuckle when you're rewatching the replay of his press conference and when he said that, and you hear a out, that came from me because it was funny. Because it was true. I mean, not to knock Logan Diggs, but like a lack of options behind Kiwan hurt them, not just late in season, but in critical situations as well. So another question was how the running backs look. Again, we got 12 minutes, couldn't be everywhere all at once. But I know that Pete, from what we asked, when I asked him about it, he really likes what they've added as far as not just talent and maybe more explosiveness than they had, but the experience that they're leaning on, and as well as some upside, and they've got depth of numbers. Again, it goes back to the main thematic point from today, in my opinion, which is this is a deeper team. Now, does that translate to more wins? We don't know. But Pete thinks they're deeper. The coaches I talked to off the record think they're deeper. They've got questions legitimately, but this is a team that's built to contend again. Are there some lesser-known players you've heard promising things about? One was Enoch Wangoy. Yes, is still the portal for me, and that's one for me.
And I'll say this, too. Pete was very open. He said, I love what I'm seeing from a couple of freshmen, but I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want you to go and run with their name.
But then he had a Freudian slip of Carmelo Reed,
he did.
Defensive lineman, who four-star, depending on the service you follow. But Ole Miss, he's got a great story, too. Carmelo Reed, I mean, this is a kid that – comes from homelessness, has dealt with a lot of stuff back at home, and man, that he's living the dream, like legitimately, like he's living a true dream. And I know that LSU came in at the last minute with all of Ole Miss's signees, really, but I know specifically with Carmelo Reed and Emmanuel Faulkner. Carmelo, I mean, they doubled the offer on the night before signing day, and because of his relationship with Ole Miss and the commitment he had with Ole Miss, and with like just. It goes beyond just football. He's here, and, man, he's one that they're really excited about. Yeah. To hear Pete mention him, I was like, oh, I know why you're talking about him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kid that they put a lot of sweat equity into in recruiting.
And one thing I wanted to add, too, is Trinidad kind of went out on his own and said what I'm about to say, because the question was, how important is it to have a spring versus last year not having a spring kind of thrown out there to play? He independently talked about one of the differences was – he said, the previous coach, you know, the difference is, and then he goes in, you can read all about it on the Ole Miss Spirit. I just thought it was interesting that
he wouldn't say his name.
Well, not only did he wouldn't say his name, but he went on to tell the differences between Lane and Pete Golding and about how he used the T word. Ben, did you hear what he said? He's a team guy.
Look, if you're watching college basketball right now, you know how this goes. One run, one heater, one dude takes over a game and flips everything. And yeah, Ole Miss isn't in the NCAA tournament. We all know that. It still hurts a little, but it doesn't mean you can't have a little fun with it. I've been playing around on Underdog, and honestly, it's perfect for this time of the year. You just pick whether players go higher or lower on stats, points, rebounds, whatever, and you're in. I'm riding guards right now in March Madness. Guys with the ball in their hands late. Stack a couple of picks, get rolling, and suddenly, you're way more invested in every single possession. It's quick, it's easy, it makes these games hit different. So download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, the Rebels gave us one heck of a run in Nashville. A 15 seed making the SEC tournament semifinals, beating Texas, Georgia, and Alabama, and honestly, they were about an inch away from playing for the championship. The Rebels just ran out of time against Arkansas in overtime. So yeah, Ole Miss won't be in the NCAA tournament this year. But if you're like me, you're still going to be watching a ton of March Madness. The upsets, the buzzer beaters, and the brackets that are completely busted by Friday afternoon. The only way I'm keeping up with all these tournament games is with Underdog Fantasy. It's really simple. You just pick whether players will go higher or lower on stats, like points, rebounds, assists, and more. I've been looking at some of these tournament games with guards pushing the pace and taking the higher on points or assists. It's a fun way to stay locked into the action, especially when you got multiple games going on at once and you're bouncing between them all afternoon. So download the Underdog Fantasy app today and use promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one thing that doesn't get talked about enough, especially this time of the year, is how much stress money stuff can bring. And I'm not just talking about big problems. It's the little things, too. Bills stacking up, feeling like you're trying to keep up, or just that constant low-level pressure in the back of your mind. I think everybody's dealt with that at some point. I know I have. Where it's not even about the money itself. It's just how it weighs on you. That's where something like therapy can help. Not to fix your finances, but to help you handle the stress, the anxiety, and everything that comes with it. BetterHelp connects you with licensed therapists and matches you based on what you're looking for. And if it's not the right fit, you can switch anytime. It's just a way to talk through what you're carrying and not feel like you're dealing with it alone, because you're not. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up at BetterHelp and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/champions. That's 10% off at BetterHelp, HELP.com/champions.
What does that say? And I'm not saying that Lane's not a team guy or Heath, but I'm just telling you what Trinidad said. And
he said he's a team guy.
You can read all about it. The videos are going to be posted on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's onspirit.com.
Stories for days.
Yeah, Jake was there. Obviously, Ben was there. There'll be full coverage.
Chuck was there.
Yeah, Chuck was there.
Multiple practice reports already. See, but that's the thing. When you only get 12 minutes, I was like, oh, gosh.
There's only so much.
Yeah. What am I going to do?
But you can really ingest a lot in 12 minutes.
Well, that's what I said. As long as you're talking to the right people. And so, like, talking to people was the way to go for me. Because I was like, I can't do video from this. I can't do my own breakdowns. Like, Chuck walked around and did what he typically does with the practice report. Mine's different. Mine's just what the coaches said to me, like what people from the field said to me. For example, the Caleb Cunningham stuff that I'm telling you about came directly from somebody who you go, oh, dang, I take him seriously, even if you don't take me seriously. So if you're wondering where this is coming from, that's what it's coming from. And to kind of continue on here, Jay Crawford, I didn't see him. He's wearing number zero, but look, he's here to start.
He's here to start.
Who's getting the majority of reps behind Luke Haas? We didn't see enough of that to know. With both Caleb Odom and Michael Smith in gold jerseys, I'm assuming it was Brady Friescorn today.
And I will say this. I know we've talked about Caden a little bit before. I had someone of significance tell me that Brady Friescorn is a more athletic Caden Friescorn.
I don't believe it.
So,
we'll see. Well, that was funny because I talked to Caden today, and I said, so how's baby bro? I said, give me the Caden brother scouting report. He's like, oh, he's going to be a beast. He's huge. He's athletic. I was like, but you're biased. You know, it's a little bro. Give me some. He's not the first one. Caden, his brother, says so, too. We'll see. I just remember the Peach Bowl MVP, Caden Priestcore, and it's hard for me to say, you know, that guy's going to be. But we'll see what happens. Who's getting that? Traylon Ray. Is Traylon Ray playing wide receiver, cornerback? He's at corner. I mean, wide receiver right now. Any Luke Haas news? He's the starting tight end, and he's healthy, and that's the biggest thing.
Can you stay healthy?
Yeah. Can you continue to stay healthy? Will Caleb Cunningham start this year? Well, after a few days of early practice, that's where he is right now.
I would have said no, but after the comments today from Ben and some people he spoke to, hearing from Pete Golding, if they rolled him out as number one, I mean, obviously on the first team, I would not be surprised at this point.
I think right now he is with the first team.
Yeah, Pete specifically used the words raw.
Yeah.
When he got to kick.
He was raw route running.
Yes. Obviously he's improved a ton on that. So if you told me that he starts come the first game, I would not be surprised in Nashville.
If he doesn't, and if he has a year similar to last year, that raises a whole different thing of questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's time for him. We're not there yet.
Who's going to be running back two in the running back room behind Lacey? It could be, I would say, Joshua Dyer, Mekhi Frazier, but it could be JT Lindsey, who's off to a good start. But one thing, when I asked about the running backs, Pete mentioned he just wanted to diversify the room as much. He's like, I remember at Alabama, he didn't say Alabama, but at a former place, he's like, we had a dude who's like our fourth running back who went in the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's not going to recreate that at Ole Miss necessarily, especially with the way talent procurement and roster building is. But he's done a pretty bang up job. If you look at the numbers, and like Joshua Dye was an 1,800 yard rusher. Frazier at Michigan State went for like almost 600 yards. Either of them are great options. I saw Shekai Mills Knight in there when we were walking out. Holy cow.
I know.
He was already big, but now he's shredded. The Braves.
I didn't realize that's who that was.
Yeah, we talked about the Braves.
You just told me that.
Yeah, and Shekai looks.
I thought it was the defensive end.
He's massive. He's massive. So I think that's a wide open competition. This one.
Real quick, I want to answer this, and not to divert your question. I think that it doesn't matter.
I think they need a collection of people that can come in and spell Kiwan Lacy. They can chip block, for goodness sakes, chip block correctly. I just frustrated me to all get out.
Did y'all see that? But you turned really quickly.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I just that was really frustrating last year when you had so many. And I'm not saying you have to be as good as Kiwan Lacy chip blocking.
Very few people are.
But my goodness, put a shoulder on somebody.
Yeah.
And so you have four or five Ben right now. The good news is the D word's there, and that is depth. And Pete made mention there's some depth there. There's also real quick a question, and we'll get to the others in a minute, about the offensive line. We talked about them. I firmly believe having the three come back, the interior lineman in the center, I think really bodes well. And I didn't get a chance to ask this question. I'm going to ask it next time. But I wanted to ask Pete, what were your thoughts heading into spring being able to recruit the current players on the team and having so many of them coming back? How did that, you know, change the outlook for you? And so that's kind of one thing I'll ask him. I didn't get a chance to ask today. But I lean towards he has to be very pleased at how well the relationship between Walker Jones. We saw Keith Carter in the room, William Knight in the room from the university, and there may have been somebody else in the room. But I thought it was interesting today that they were all there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of support from the university for Pete. And I think it was really cool. And nobody said it. Pete didn't say a word. I'm sorry. Keith didn't talk to anybody that I saw. He just kind of slid in, slid out. But to me, that was a sign of solidarity that he showed up on his very first press conference of spring, and Keith Carter doing exactly what Keith Carter does, supporting his coaches. And I thought it was cool there today that he showed up.
Yep. There's a bug in your hair.
All right. Time out.
Get it out of there, man. I was freaked out because I was like, dude, well, I mean, like, it's so easy. Can I touch it? Can I touch the
no,
hair?
You cannot. Collins word.
Well, what about Elias Carmadine is coming back. They wanted
that
him
happened
back
during the press conference.
During the press conference, he is coming back. They wanted him back for Ole Miss basketball. That's a big piece moving forward. They want to play him off the ball. They're going to be looking specifically for a playmaking point guard. But Elias is a piece you need to retain, and getting him back is a big deal. All right, one of the few. My buddy Josh just chimed in from Louisiana. Said, just stop by to let you know I love you, buddy. I love you more. I love all of y'all, man. Thank y'all for joining us here at Talking Champions every single day. We're going to be live from the next practice. Maybe we're live Friday whenever we get another opportunity, whatever that opportunity looks like. But trying to brain dump from the conversations I had, because I didn't watch a lot, I just talked a lot. And one thing that I didn't want to miss out on is Jontay Cook. That was it. Jontay Cook, right now, in my opinion, outside of Deuce Alexander, if you're looking at what are the sure things, you know what you got, going to be a stud, going to produce. Jontay Cook is one of those guys. Jontay Cook is coming in here to play and play a lot. This is his money year. They love the work they've gotten out of him. I was told, like, he's matured now. Like Ben, he was a much different person 3 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago when he was getting recruited. He's come a long way and he understands it. And now he's in an offense that can, once he broke out in Syracuse or kind of figured himself out of Syracuse, now he's here to really break out for the NFL, and he's off to a great start. What are the questions for you? Because, look, it's all happy-go-lucky sunshine and rainbows, unicorns during spring football. But from everything you talk, the people you've talked to and what you've heard, what you've seen, what do you think are still the main questions? Because I still got a few for me, one of which is I want to see those tackles before I go and say they're going to be as good as Diego Pounds and Jaden Williams next year.
My questions are, I understand on paper that the defensive backfield is a lot better. I need to see that on person on the field.
Just got to see it.
I got to see that. Secondly, I think I'm with you on the offensive tackles. Also, what are the depth pieces there? Because, you know, Devin Harper was someone you really anticipated that would come in and either start or play significant snaps. He's off to LSU. So, I honestly, Ben, I think of all the pieces that left, I love Caden Lee, and man, I wish him all the best in Missouri. And I love Austin Simmons. They're great, great teammates. From the best I could tell, just from the outside looking in, I wish him nothing but the best.
Sure.
All of them, wish them all the best.
Until they come here in October.
Yeah, and it's all a little different then. you look at, I think Devin Harper is going to be the number one piece. I don't know that we look back and think, wow, it would have been nice to have him from an Ole Miss standpoint. But I do think that someone early on, you're going to be like, yeah, think he might be missed a little more.
Yeah.
Once again, Chuck said this, by the way, if you go to the YouTube page, go to our podcast, Lincoln Talk of Champions, go back and listen to the interview with Chuck Brown. It was fantastic.
Now he's butchering names, though. He's 70 years old.
Just roster
Godfather's
nearby. But it was a really good interview, and he kind of went into depth about the depth, no pun intended. So Chuck did a wonderful job.
I encourage you to go back and listen to that. A lot of you already listen to us and watch us, but if you haven't, go back and watch and listen to that. I do believe those pieces are going to be, you know, interesting to look at that offensive line, Ben. I do think they're, I'm not going to say an area of concern right now, but I do think depth is going to be an issue at offensive line right now. We know that wide receiver, that running back, that quarterback, that defensive line, linebacker, and all the defensive backfield, there's depth there. I don't know about offensive line right now, so that's something I'll be looking for.
Yeah, and again, the wide receivers, until you see it, the new-look wide receivers, they lost a lot, so you're waiting to see. But generally
speaking, DeJon Stripling's not walking through the door right now.
But DeJon Stripling, it was a slow start for him.
It was, and it also Coach P. Goldie even said today, look, you guys weren't in here, you know, ringing the DeJon Stripling bell this time last year. So there very well could be somebody on campus right now on that practice field that's going to be as good or better.
But see, so it's
like, something to monitor.
It's easy, or it's from a national perspective, you look at Ole Miss and you say, all right, well, you lost your leading tackler in T.J. Dottery. Ole Miss would love to keep T.J. Dottery as we try to beat the rain now. More principal Mommy Ellen even over T.J. Dottery. I had a couple coaches actually say, oh, dude, Ole Miss upgraded linebacker. Luke Ferrelli and Keaton Thomas right beside each other. Pete said it, we want to look
Ferrelli's going to wear the
mic,
green dot?
The green dot mic. You see, he said we recruited him to be the green dot mic, and then we didn't have an opening yet. And then TJ left, and then they have the opening. He wanted to be here. He comes here to be the green dot mic. They've actually had to try to scale him and Keaton back. Like, slow down, y'all, because those guys are going – like Trinidad said it, man. They're flying around the place. He called Ferrelli a dog. They've upgraded at linebacker. TJ, like, he got pushed around against Miami. He's a great player. He's going to do great things to LSU. That's not the point of this. The point is thematically, what we have learned from talking to everybody, seeing it with our eyes for the first time, talking to Pete, you pick it. There's more depth on this team than they certainly had last year. All right. Arguably the same kind of depth, maybe not the same type of high end talent, because Walter Nolan's hard to replace, but you got William Echols. But my point is, they have more depth, as Pete said, than they've had since he's been here, at least.
Correct, yeah.
And that bore out at least through everyone you talked to and seen it for yourself. And that was never more evident, in my opinion, than at linebacker with two guys flying around the football that I think might be one of Ole Miss's better modern era duos at linebacker that they've ever had.
And real quick, too, we're about to get out of here. The rain's about to come. So we want to tell you, go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. The question was asked by Sam Hutchins of the Clarion Ledger about Dabo Swinney, Clemson. There's a full answer for you. He's going to be on the Ole Miss Spirit. And stay tuned to Ben in our social channels.
Essentially, we'll post those. Essentially, what he said was,
you pretty much
he wanted to be here.
He wanted to be here, and so he's here.
He's here. And he's not
wrong. And he specifically said, I'm not going to sit up here and grandstand. He's a great linebacker. We needed a green dot. We didn't need a green dot until T.J. Dottery went to LSU.
That's right.
When T.J. Dottery went to LSU, we had to go find a green dot.
Well, Trey Freifogel, former Ole Miss wide receiver, our friend, a good friend of the program, he wants to know about Deuce Knight, his guy. He coached him in high school a little bit.
There's a couple of videos that Jake, you posted.
I put one on Twitter. His release is a little slower than I anticipated. But that's, again, you're watching practice, and he's probably just, you know, half-assing it anyway. Yeah. So I don't want to make too many broad judgments here. I do know this from talking to coaches. Deuce Knight is going to have a role. Look, just like Trinidad is going to have a role.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question who the quarterback is. The question is can Deuce make it crystal clear that he is the guy to hand the ball off to this time next year? I still think, and the spring will go a long way toward determining that, right now their starter for next year isn't necessarily on the roster. All right, so let's see what Deuce, how he can take control of that number two job, because that number two job isn't his yet. He's got to earn that. You know what I mean?
You know, Pete was pretty high on Walker Howard.
Yes, because
he loves
maturity.
He loves maturity.
So, but I think the talent is obvious. The size is incredibly impressive. Got real zip. But he's one of the most important guys this spring for
15
me.
15 minutes, gentlemen and ladies.
12.
That 12 minutes is all that was given today. So,
yeah. Like, how did the freshman look today? Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But when we come back, I'll look for freshmen, because I asked about freshmen. I said, what is the acclimation process, Pete? Like, what are you wanting from freshmen? He's like, we want them to come in and be a good teammate and get to work and learn the system.
We don't want them
where we have to – if we have a program where we have to rely on 18-year-olds to come in and start, we're in trouble. And that is a marked difference from the old days. It just is. You know, like, he's like, now we've had a freshman All-American for three straight years, and that's true. But as far as freshmen and impact, I think what we've learned is as this culture has shifted in the age of NIL, being here for the spring is important for Anthony Davis and Emmanuel Faulkner and all of those dudes. Landon Barnes. If you ask me for one freshman who I say is going to play, Landon Barnes is that guy.
Yeah.
I think Landon Barnes is going to play. However, with only 12 minutes to spare, I just went and talked to as many coaches as possible, try to watch what they're showing me. And number two, freshmen kind of got lost there, but like that's the point. They just want them in here and getting used to it, so that this time next year, when you're replacing William Echols, you can slide in, you know, Jared Curtis or Carmelo Reed or whoever it might be. And we've kind of given you some names like a Carmelo Reed that have already been mentioned today from the people we talked to. So not a lot to glean as far as if we were just out there to watch. But if you're out there with intentionality to go around and ask some questions, you certainly got enough satisfy the or to scratch the itch.
So,
you know, that Ben, has been Ole Miss football.
Ben, we're standing out here after the Egg Bowl this year. And you and I are talking post game. I don't know what the schedule. I don't know. I think they're going to win the Egg Bowl, but I don't know what the end.
9-3.
I'm not saying that.
Oh,
here's what I'm saying. If we're standing out here and we're talking about the game and talking about the season, you know who I think is going to be one of the most important parts of the Ole Miss defense, judging by just what I heard today.
Who's that?
I think Jaheim Otis is going to be a huge part of the Ole Miss defense, because I feel like today Pete indirectly told us that he had a very heart-to-heart conversation with Jaheim Otis and said, do you want to be here? If you do, here's what it's going to take for you to be here. And I think it was reciprocated. And I think that Jaheim Otis told Pete, I'm ready to be here. This is it. So I think he's going to be a very vibrant part of this Ole Miss defense.
I think that's a great point. Jaheim Otis, he understands the urgency of this year for him. He has not been the player, neither at Alabama nor at Colorado, that he was recruited to be and signed to be from both of those places. Pete Golding has been there since day one. He's wanted him at Alabama. He wanted him here. It was only fitting that Jaheim Otis, in his money year for the NFL and his put-up-or-shut-up year, that he would be playing it under Pete Golding. So I think a motivated Jaheim Otis, considering the monster that he is and the need that they have, could absolutely play a big role for them next year. That's a great pool. Yep. Like, that's – to me, while you know the name, that is would be an underrated Rebel, because honestly, all I've heard all season is about Michael Burrio, you know what I mean, from Florida, who they say is, dude, you're not going to be able to take him off the field. But Jaheim Otis is a guy that Pete Golding has loved and his potential for years, and he hadn't lived up to it. And now they're together. Let's see if he does. So that's a great one, man. That's another good one.
Yep.
And we're going to have as much possible coverage as we can provide over at the Ole Miss Beer. You don't just have to hang out with us here for the after practice pod live outside of Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Here's the Manning Center, just chilling, hanging out, talking to some folks. Look at it. Ain't it beautiful? Beautiful day outside. You feel me? We're going to be here every time we're available to be live after practice to tell you what we saw, what we heard, what the conversations we had with coaches or whoever it might be, sources, whatever you want to call them. And today was a good day. I'm just glad to get out there and see some football.
Yeah, it was really cool. I want to say a special thank you to our title and presenting sponsor, Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You know where they are. They're on top of the hill, right past Kroger on the left on University Avenue. Go by and see Mason today. Tell him you heard about it right here on the Talk of Champions. They'll hook you up with a brand new Jeep, Dodge, Ram. They'll hook you up today. Go by and trade yours in and get a new one. You deserve it. And tell them you heard about it on the Talk of Champions. Game day haircuts. Game day hair. What am I trying to say? Where am I at?
Get the perfect haircuts in Oxford. Game day haircuts of Oxford, located at 17358 University Avenue.
Yeah, well, the business is booming.
It is game booming. Day haircuts. Like, I've heard that.
I think
I've heard
Ben needs a haircut. For goodness sakes.
Can you tell?
Yeah, Ben needs it. Ben needs a haircut.
My go back pointed out today. My first really bad gray hair apparently. So like. Or they come for us all.
Now, listen, you can give them a call. The best thing to do is get on Facebook and go to Game Day Haircuts of Oxford. Follow them. Go ahead and do that now. And then type in what time you want to come in, and they'll reach out to you, and they'll hook you up for a great haircut. Be sure and get an appointment or give them a call, 380-5658, because they stay pretty booked up. Our good friend Philip Hearn at the Hearn Law Firm, we appreciate Philip and everything that he does. Remember, all of your legal needs, just give Philip Hearn a call today, 766-7777. Follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on Facebook. Philip Hearn is our attorney here on the Talk of Champions podcast.
Thank you all for joining us today. Today was a lot of fun. My main takeaway, and again, we've repeated it, but as we get out of here, for those that might be just joining us late, Pete Golding said it. You don't have to take my word for it. This isn't just stupid-ass Ben Garrett running his mouth. The depth of this team is impressive. Now, will it all come together? Toughest schedule, like a 9-game SEC schedule, tougher schedule, one of the toughest in the country. Will they win the same clip? I don't know, but that looks like another playoff contender out there. You're returning one of the very best quarterbacks in the country in Trinidad Chambliss, another Heisman candidate in running back Kiwan Lacy. You restock behind him. You got to answer questions on the offensive line at tackle. Yeah. And defensively, man, who replaces Prince Will specifically as the sack leader, but I think they got a lot of candidates. It's a good football team, and from all accounts, it's been a good start to the spring, and we'll be here for every step of the way.
I'm so excited. You know, last year was so much fun. It feels like just 30 minutes ago we were on the field at Phoenix, and it feels like just the other day we were just watching the confetti fly at the Sugar Bowl and Ole Miss beating Georgia. It's been an incredible run for us here at the Talk of Champions. We were live for you the whole way. We're going to be that way the whole way. We're thankful for all of our sponsors. If you want to be a sponsor on the show, just hit Ben or I up on the social channels. DM us. He's at Spirit Ben. I'm at Brad Logan, COT on X. Also, Talk of Champions YouTube page. Hit us there. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on YouTube. And we appreciate all that you're doing. The numbers have skyrocketed, Ben. It's been awesome to do this. It all started right in there.
It did.
After a game, after a press conference, I was like, Ben, man, I don't know what – I got to do a video.
That's how it started. I was in the press box, and you were down there in front of me. I said, hey, Brad, you want to do a post-game show? You went, yeah.
And that was it. And then it was live after Lane. Then it was
that was a bad choice by me.
Well
– but it's fine. Now it's still – it's just everything's Talk of Champions.
It was a post-game. Now everything's Talk of Champions. So it works out awesome. Thanks, everybody, for your comments today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Man, that was good.